This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Roberto, Iowa Sam came in, and I think he's still mad. Like, after the show, before we go to your calls to react to this Kaepernick stuff, for people yesterday, we got to get an update. Iowa Sam refused to play R. Kelly songs. I don't have anything to do with the music on a day-to-day basis. You and Danny G kind of put together a spin list. And so it was Valentine's Day, and Danny G put together a list of R&B, like, romantic songs. And Iowa Sam refused to play R. Kelly. And then, like, the minute that I said he needed to play it, he immediately backed down. And
well, I don't know if I'd be fired.
Yeah.
I'm refusing.
Yeah. You refuse to do it. You don't refuse. And then as soon as you are called on it, like, he immediately relented and he agreed to do it. But in Iowa Sam's defense, I put up a poll and 70% of people didn't want us to play R. Kelly and thought he should be promoted for that stand.
Wow.
And I think we're going to get into a real difficult situation when this Michael Jackson documentary comes out.
I'm still going to play Michael Jackson. So
I think you have to make a distinction between the artist and the art. If the artist is incredibly talented, then I'm willing to look past what the art... if the art is incredibly beautiful, I'm willing to look past the fact that the artist might not be a good person. For instance, I still think the Cosby Show is really funny, even though I believe Bill Cosby is in prison right now. I still like watching Mike Tyson box, even when he was convicted of rape. I still wanted him to fight, even though he was a bad guy. It seems like he's kind of redeemed himself somewhat since then. Certainly in music, there are a lot of people who have had all sorts of criminal issues. And the same thing is true of athletes, right? I still rooted for Michael Vick. Even though I didn't approve of dogfighting, I wanted him to be successful when he came back. So my position here is I can separate the talent from the person and still appreciate their talent, even if they may be, at times, awful human beings away from their music.
It's like the Browns signing Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think Kareem Hunt is a good dude, but I think he deserves an opportunity to play football because he's good at football.
Or Tyreek Hill.
Or Tyreek Hill, or Joe Mixon, or any other person out there that has done something that is criminal in nature, but not so criminal in nature. Now, I don't think I would be okay with, let's say, like Ray Carruth coming back to play after he hired someone to shoot and kill his pregnant fiance. And I certainly don't think that if O.J. Simpson had been 25 instead of 45 when he killed those two people, I don't think I would have wanted to sign him to come back and play in the NFL when he beat double murder charges. But we have got a lot of people who want to react, not surprisingly, to Colin Kaepernick and the report that he demanded $20 million to play in the AAF. That's more money, by the way, than he ever received to play in the NFL. And that's more money per game than anybody but Aaron Rodgers has ever received to play quarterback in the history of the sport. So 877-996-6369, double take your calls. Let's pull the crew first, and then I'm going to get an update from Eddie, and then we will go exclusively to your calls for the rest of the hour to allow you guys to react. First of all, Danny G, your response when you see this story, when you saw this story yesterday from the Associated Press or last night from the AP, your response was what?
Well, first I'll say you and I spent an entire year on this radio programming arguing over the entire Kaepernick thing. But I agree with you on this one. I think if I'm advising Kaepernick, I tell him, dude, don't even take the money. Donate whatever check that AAF team can give you to charity and then just show out on the field, make everybody look stupid for not at least signing you as a top backup in the NFL.
Do you have any doubt that if you truly want to play in the NFL again and he went out and dominated in the AAF, that he would 100% be signed by a team? I have zero doubt that's the case.
And if you want $20 million, get it from an NFL squad by showing that you're still one of the top quarterbacks in the world. So if I'm his manager, I tell him, dude, play your best on the field. You're going to show everybody up. And the NFL teams are going to be looking at it like, man, we should sign you. So, yeah, if he really wants to play, if he loves football, this is a great opportunity, I think, to get on the field and show that you're 10 times better than everybody else in that league.
Roberto, are you also in agreement there that if you were advising Kaepernick and you said, and he told you that his goal was to play football again, isn't this the perfect opportunity? It's only a 10-week season. You would theoretically be the most accomplished quarterback in this league. And by the way, the reason why all these other quarterbacks are playing is because they're trying to get back into the NFL too. This is their best route. Is there any doubt that this is the best route right now for Colin Kaepernick to the NFL?
Yeah, if I was advising him, I would tell him first, yeah, sign here in the, with the AAF. But first of all, if you want to play in the NFL, you got to drop your lawsuit that you have in the NFL, because nobody's going to sign him as long as he has that lawsuit pending with the NFL. That's the reason why he's not being signed by anybody.
Yeah, the whole lawsuit's stupid anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, Reed just got a $21 million contract.
The reason
contract.
Why all the owners hated Al Davis, because he was always suing the NFL and the league.
Yeah. So, let's go back to Dub. Are you hungover?
I'm still drunk.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if you're still drunk. Where did you sleep?
I did not.
You stayed up all night.
I'm good to go, though. Let's roll, baby.
So what time did you get to the studio?
I got to the studio about 4:45.
Where did you come from?
Printer's Alley. It's a lovely place.
I know
place
where Printer's
Alley.
You still do sound a little bit drunk. So you were out till they stay open till 3 a.m. in Printer's Alley. Were you in the bars till 3 a.m.?
That's correct.
And then you went to you got to the studio somehow. I don't even want to ask. You got to the studio somehow. And then what did you do at the studio? What time did you get to the studio?
I got to the studio about 4:45. I turned on the ESPN, and here I am.
Yeah.
Fielded calls. We're ready to roll. Lines are loaded now.
Did he slur ESPN?
Yeah.
ESPN.
Also, So what did you do between 3 and 4:45?
Well, I made a pit stop back at my place and had a cup of water. Now I'm here.
Do you think that in the history of Mike and Mike, they ever had a drunk call screener?
Oh, Mike and Mike was never this cool.
Mike, I guarantee you that Mike and Mike have never had a drunk call screener. So you're calling Dub right now to talk about Colin Kaepernick, 877-996-6369. If he goes flawless on everybody's name, that's going to be a really big-time performance, because he usually sober can't do it. Eddie Garcia, you've been on Fox Sports Radio for a long time. How many drunk call screeners do you remember being employed?
None that I know acknowledge the fact that they were drunk.
But if you had to guess, wouldn't you expect that it would be our show that would have a drunk call screener?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, by the way, about this Cap story?
Well, if I was advising him, I would obviously want him on the field, because it's his only path to get back to the NFL. But I don't think he wants to get back in the NFL.
Which is what the $20 million demand reflects, right?
Yeah, exactly. Why not make it $100 million? I mean, he's not going to get back out on the field, because I think he knows he can't play anymore. And even if he did play decently, and he goes and is a backup quarterback somewhere, then, I mean, that's not in keeping with what he wants.
The minute he signs and becomes a backup quarterback, which is what he would have to be, because I don't think anybody would hand him the reins to their franchises. He's not a starter.
Exactly.
Right? He got beat out by Blaine freaking Gabbert in the last year that he was full-time in a camp in San Francisco. He knows that the minute he stands on the sideline and with a clipboard and sits there with his afro, like looking at somebody else play, all of his martyrdom is gone, which is why I think if I were an NFL franchise right now, I would offer him a couple million dollars to be a backup publicly if I were an owner. Because the reason why I would do that if I were an owner is because it automatically makes you look like a saint. You get all the credit. Colin Kaepernick, here's $2 million. You can be the backup of my team. All right? You come in. You're the backup. Here's $2 million. I think every single person listening to us right now would be like, I mean, if the dude wants to play, he's got an opportunity to get $2 million and be a backup. And asking for $20 million is crazy. All right, what's the update you got for us?
Well, we have come to the close of the first half of the season in the NBA. We have reached the All-Star break. We had three games last night, including the Pelicans beating the Thunder 131-122 in defeat. Oklahoma City star Russell Westbrook extended his own NBA record with his 11th straight triple-double, 44 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists. Meanwhile, in the win, New Orleans lost star Anthony Davis to a shoulder injury. He's scheduled to have an MRI later today. The Knicks beat the Hawks in Atlanta 106-91. With that win, New York snapped its franchise record for consecutive losses in a single season. It was at 18 in a row. And the Magic beat the Hornets 127-89. Orlando goes into the break having won five in a row. A couple of college basketball games in the top 10. Number 3, Gonzaga beat Loyola Marymount 73-60. Bulldogs are 24-2. They've won 15 in a row. And number 9, Houston improves to 24-1 with a 71-63 victory over Connecticut. This report brought to you by TrueCar. Online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. We'll be back to Outkick the Coverage in 10 seconds, but first, a word from farmers.
From a dog accidentally flooding a living room to a dog taking a joyride, we've covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Now back to Clay Travis in the Geico Outkick the Coverage studios.
By the way, I'm on the worst gambling run of all time. I don't even know. I've never had a – ever since the Saints didn't get that personal foul called, I am cursed. Last night, I had the Atlanta Hawks on the money line against the Knicks. The Knicks were playing a back-to-back. They lost 18 games. They haven't won a game since January 4th, and they went on the road and won by 15 against Atlanta. I don't even know what's going on here. I legitimately need a gambling
intervention,
exorcism. I need an exorcism. I need somebody out there who is a priest to come bring the bad picks out of me. I don't even know what's going on, but we got a bunch of calls. Dub has theoretically drunkenly fielded these calls. We'll see what happens. And we'll start with Farrell. I think it's Farrell. Farrell? I don't know. What is it? What is his name in Miami?
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Farrell. I absolutely agree with what you're saying. Actually, your co-host or whatever he was saying, I agree. If he said, listen, I'm going to go improve myself, donate the money. This is the only thing that we understand, because even last year when I was speaking, it seems to me that the NFL will make their case, and you kind of said it, if they say, okay, we're going to bring Kaepernick in because we're going to prove that, number one, it's not personal. Although I think you would, this is what I want to hear from you, that you would have to agree that even for what we feel about Kaepernick and his ability, that he has to be able to fit into the NFL when you look at all the quarterbacks and the backups that are in there, to not say that he wouldn't bring a better opportunity. And me being a Redskins fan, when I seen Sanchez,
yeah,
it blew my mind.
Yeah, well, the report is, but we could say this too. There have been reports that his asking price has been too high in the NFL too. So we should say that there are reports out there that he wanted $7 or $8 million, that he wanted a lot more money than most teams thought he was worth under the salary cap, and asking for $20 million from the AAF would further kind of confirm that. But look, if he would take $2 million to be a backup right now, or $3 million, which honestly is about what a mid-30s backup gets in the NFL, I mean, I think that's his value, then I don't understand. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but I wouldn't pay him $10 million to stand on the sideline. I wouldn't pay him $15. I certainly wouldn't pay him $20, right? Let's go to Daniel in Kentucky. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, good morning, Clay.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I wanted to talk about the fact that I wonder if Kaepernick's journey would have been different had he been drafted differently. I remember
that's an uninteresting call. Let's go ahead. Look, my job as the host is to you need to lead with your best point. I want to talk about if Kaepernick had been drafted differently 15 years ago is not an interesting call here. We're talking about news that has just happened, and you're like, I wonder if he had been drafted. Like, Kaepernick's career started fine. He had Harbaugh behind his back. He got to come in to replace Alex Smith when Alex Smith was injured. All of that is water under the bridge. There's nothing else to be added there. His career started fine. Lorenzen in L.A. What's up, Lorenzen?
What's up, Doug? I don't think it was ridiculous. First of all, he was whiteballed from the NFL, and he shouldn't drop the lawsuit. But now I'm starting to figure out why that dude Joe had a problem with you, because I noticed that every person you mentioned was a black dude. You never mentioned about Ben Roethlisberger with his two rape charges. You didn't mention nothing about Urban Meyer that he let go on at Ohio State. You didn't
hold on, Lorenzen. Hold on, Lorenzen. You think I've been too kind to Urban Meyer on the show?
You talk about the Catholic priest that's raping these little boys.
Oh, hold on, Lorenzen. I should be talking about the Catholic priest? Where did Lorenzen go? Did he hang up?
That's raping little boys. You're bringing up criminal things against black athletes and black celebrities. Why do you bring up the white people?
Uh-huh. Well, I think that the Catholic priest shouldn't have raped those little boys. I'm glad you brought that up. I think people out there were like, I wonder what Clay Travis thinks about Catholic priests raping little boys. For people out there who thought I was okay with it, no. I'm against Catholic priests raping little boys, both black, white, Asian, and Hispanic. I don't think it's just white Catholic priests, right? Okay, so what else do you think I'm racist about, Lorenzen?
I didn't say you was racist. I said you didn't bring it up.
You agree that if you sit down, hold on, Lorenzen, if we start off the show, Lorenzen, and I was like, hey, let me start. I know this is a sports radio show, but today I'm going to start off talking about the fact that I think Catholic priests shouldn't rape little boys. It would seem like it was a pretty poor fit for the start of the show, right? But maybe you're right. Maybe I should have started off the show with that. All right, continue.
What I said was you didn't bring up the fact that you have white athletes and celebrities that's doing the same thing as black. Everybody you mentioned is black. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Mike Tyson. You mentioned Ray Kroc, which I can't stand. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You mentioned all these black dudes that's doing this. But
who is the white guy who hired a hired a hitman to kill his pregnant girlfriend? Because I should probably mention him. Who is that person?
Really? See, you're trying to be real sarcastic with it. You know
no, I'm just asking. You're saying that I'm focusing on...
That's what you're trying to do.
Ray Kroc just got out of prison, and he happens to be black, and you are thinking that I mentioned it because he's black, but I'm saying, who's the white Asian or Hispanic athlete who just got out of prison that hired somebody to kill his pregnant fiance? Because I should mention him, too. Good point. I'm just asking you who it is.
Really, that's how you go flip it. You're doing the same thing the NFL did with Colin Kaepernick when they said he was disrespecting the flag, but he was talking about the injustice that was going on in the world. I bet you one thing, if you have black officers going around killing
it happens
and
all
murdering
the time.
White women, white kids, and white men, y'all be in an uproar.
Hey, hold on. Lorenzen, would it surprise you if police officers killed more black people, killed more white people than black people in the last 4 years?
No, it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, it happened.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It happened.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It happened.
Because you're not even going to talk about what y'all did to our ancestors, huh?
Oh, your ancestors.
Is that why we only got 1 month of black history?
What did I do to your ancestors?
Come on. Head to head, I will crush you in a debate. And I wouldn't want to do it over the phone. I like to sit across from you because I will crush you.
Yeah.
I will crush you.
You're making a really lot of really. What did I do to your ancestors?
Your people did it.
My people
your
did
people
it.
Your people did
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah? What did my people do?
You got Bill Cosby in jail, but Harry Weinstein and Matt Lauer did the same thing. Why is that?
Harvey Weinstein is about to go on trial. It's because the jury convicted Bill Cosby.
No, you don't believe that.
And Matt Lauer, to my understanding, unless you have knowledge that I don't have, Lorenzen. I haven't seen Matt Lauer accused of using drugs to drug women to sleep with him. That might be. You might have the breaking news on that, Lorenzen.
Really?
But
you gonna bring that up?
Well,
really?
You did. I'm just responding to what you brought up.
Matt Lauer had a button up on his desk to lock the women in his office. Why you gonna bring that up?
Yeah. Well, I should have definitely led my story with Matt Lauer too.
You sound idiotic, dude.
Yeah, Lorenzen, you've really made a lot of good points, Lorenzen.
Yeah, I know I did.
I mean, honestly, Lorenzen, this is probably the best call we've ever gotten. You are serving me. You are just like, you remember that show, that great movie? You just served me. You called in and you just hardcore served me because you pointed out, I mean, all these huge gaping flaws in my logic, and I'm not sure how I'm ever going to be able to recover from them. I mean, seriously, Lorenzen, you can react to him. Did he serve me or not? 877-996-6369. Man, that ancestor line, it really kind of floored me. And maybe I should be apologizing on behalf of Catholic priests everywhere for all their misdeeds. Maybe I should start the show every day with that. Honestly, Lorenzen made a point. It's pretty racist of me not to bring up Catholic priests every day and what they've done in a negative way.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis. Weeknights at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Got a lot of calls we're going to get to. Big story out there. Colin Kaepernick reportedly asked for $20 million to play in the AAF. If you're wondering how that would compare to everybody else's salary to play in minor league football, they make $75,000. So effectively, Colin Kaepernick asked for almost as much money as every player combined is making on all eight teams. And to me, this is further evidence of the argument that I've been making for a while now, which is Colin Kaepernick doesn't want to be in the NFL. He doesn't want to continue to play football because if he does, it makes him irrelevant. It kills his martyrdom. He's not a story anymore the minute he picks up a clipboard and stands on the sideline as a backup quarterback. And so the stories that are out there about Colin Kaepernick, the Seattle Seahawks brought him in. Reportedly, he asked for way more money than they were willing to pay him. The Baltimore Ravens were prepared to sign him as a quarterback, and then his girlfriend went on social media and called Ray Lewis and Uncle Tom and said that the owner of the Ravens was akin to the racist character that Leonardo DiCaprio played in the movie Django Unchained. And so as a result, the Ravens didn't offer him a job. And so there have been a lot of these reports over time that have all kind of continued where Colin Kaepernick is not getting a job in the NFL because he's asking for too much money, and he's frankly not that good. So if I were Colin Kaepernick and I were giving him advice and he said, hey, how do I get back into the NFL? Dominating in minor league football seems like it would be a pretty good route because that's really the reason that everybody's playing in the AAF. They're hoping to get an opportunity to get back to the NFL. If you are as good as you are, if Colin Kaepernick is as talented as he says he is, then why wouldn't you go into a minor league football and then get your opportunity to go back to the NFL, maybe even at a higher salary, much higher salary than you might get now? That seems like a pretty clear path. Invest in yourself. Yet Colin Kaepernick is not willing to do that. Now, I'm taking your calls on it, 877-996-6369, but I'm not sure that anybody's going to be able to equal Lorenzen. Lorenzen called in earlier and said, I was racist because I was saying this about Colin Kaepernick. In fact, I think we have some of the best cuts from Lorenzen from L.A. who called in. I don't know if he was still up overnight or if he woke up early this morning angry, but here's what Lorenzen had to say. I think, frankly, he served me.
Your people did it.
My people
your
did
people
it.
Did
oh, yeah? What
you
did
got,
my people do?
You got
do?
Bill Cosby in jail, but Harry Weinstein and Matt Lauer did the same thing. Why is that? Why
well,
is that?
Harvey Weinstein is about to go on trial. It's because a jury convicted Bill Cosby.
No, you don't believe that.
And
don't
and Matt Lauer, to my understanding, unless you have knowledge that I don't have, Lorenzen, I haven't seen Matt Lauer accused of using drugs to drug women to sleep with him. That might be. You might have the breaking
really?
News on that, Lorenzen.
Really?
But
you gonna bring that up?
Well,
really?
You did. I'm just responding to what you brought up.
Matt Lauer had a button up on his desk to lock the women in his office. Now you gonna bring that up?
Yeah. Well, I should have definitely led my story with Matt Lauer too.
You sound idiotic, dude.
Yeah, Lorenzen. You've really made a lot of good points, Lorenzen.
You know what I'm saying?
Lorenzen also said I was responsible for his ancestors in slavery. So, I mean, really, I've done a lot of bad things this morning. First of all, Lorenzen began his call by saying I haven't talked enough about the Catholic priest raping kids. Then he led into me being responsible for slavery. And this was all ostensibly to defend Colin Kaepernick. So we're taking your calls. Maybe he's right. Maybe I am the reason slavery existed. Had a lot to do with it. Being born in 1979. Man, I was really involved in the slave trade back in the day. I really kind of took it to Lorenzen's ancestors. And it was really racist to me to bring up Mike Tyson and Ray Carruth when I said, you know what, I was fine with Mike Tyson boxing again, but I don't think I would sign Ray Carruth to play football, even if he were young enough to still play. It was racist to me to bring up those guys, though. Jose in Fremont, what's up?
What's up, brother? Hey, I'm from Cali, man. That guy, Lorenzo, is an idiot, bro. He wants to say, man, that's just ignorance at its bliss, bro. Hey, check this out. I'm with you. I'm not going to go into Colin Kaepernick if he's good enough or he would have been drafted or whatnot. You know what? The dude doesn't want to play. When you put a price tag that big, you don't want to play. also don't forget that there was also a rumor that the NFL was kind of like begging the Raiders to pick him up when they gave us the Vegas deal. And I'm with you, man. The dude, and also he proves what you've been trying to say about Lamar Jackson, that the dude, they catch on to you. Kaepernick is not a pocket passer. Yeah, he's mobile. People caught on, and they've shut him down. And that's what's going to happen, like you've been saying about Lamar Jackson. I'm with you totally, bro. And I'm also a Hispanic fellow racist.
Thanks for the call. I got to say, if you negotiate, like if, so let's say when my contract was up, if somebody came to me and they said, hey, Clay Travis, we're interested in hiring you away. And I knew that everybody else at that radio station was making $75,000 a year. And I said, okay, I'm interested in coming to work for you. I want $20 million. That'd be a pretty good sign that I didn't want to actually go work there, right? If you throw out a number which is more than everybody at the entire company makes combined, it's pretty clear that you don't want that job, right? I mean, that's not a negotiating number. If he had started at $5 million, if he had started at $2 million, they probably would have worked with him. They might have paid him $1 million to play, even though everybody else is making $75,000, because they would have gotten the viewership probably for Colin Kaepernick to make it happen. But he started at $20 million for the same reason he's not in the NFL now. He doesn't want to be in the NFL. He wants to be a martyr. We wouldn't talk about him. I'll be honest. We wouldn't talk about him if he were a backup quarterback, just like we don't talk about who's the dude, who's the safety for the Panthers, still Neil and whatever, just got a $20 million deal. Jonathan Reed. Not Jonathan Reed. Eric Reed. Whatever his name is. We don't talk about him. He's irrelevant. Same thing with Kaepernick, if he actually was in the league. John in New York, what's up?
Hey, good morning. So the AAF is almost like the USFL. The money just isn't there yet. So if they want Kaepernick and he wants $20 million, be like, yeah, we'll give you $20 million. And then when the check bounces, be like, well, you have to put $20 million of performance into it. And like you said earlier, put in the performance, and then the NFL will pick you up, and they'll maybe pay you $15, $16, $14 million.
That's literally the entire business model of the AAF. It is, we are not as big as the NFL, but what we are going to offer you the opportunity to is prove that you should be in the NFL. This is a minor league, just like AAA in baseball. There isn't really an NFL minor league right now. The AAF and the XFL are both in some way trying to be feeder systems for the NFL. And so instead of having to be on a practice squad, instead of trying to make a squad as a free agent, you can get on tape, you can make plays playing against other high-level competitors and prove that you should be on an NFL roster. And there will be a lot of success stories, I think, that come out of the AAF. There'll be guys that end up on NFL rosters who never would have without that league. Mike in Modesto, what's up?
Clay, you're about the only one who's been absolutely right on this from the very beginning. He had the greatest example of all with the McDonald's illustration. He has clearly sabotaged himself through the whole process because he wants to be the social justice hero of all time. He thinks he's Muhammad Ali, but I thought you had to be the greatest of all time to be what he wants to be. But, Clay, what I really want to talk about real quick is I want you to explain to me why the lovely Rachel pimp-slapped you yesterday on the show for taking too much time, and you just bowed your head in shame and took it, Clay. Thank you for the time, buddy.
Rachel Bonetta hates me. I mean, if you watch the television show, I think she really hates me. And it's tough when you're the host of the show, the person who talks the most and like tosses things to you, hates you. Now, in her defense, I kind of hate myself with the picks that I've been making lately. I mean, when you're on the Knicks to lose, and they've lost 18 games in a row, and they're playing a back-to-back, and then they go on the road, and I've bet on the Hawks to win on the money line, and the Hawks lose by 15. I don't know what to say other than my gambling picks right now are a total dumpster fire. My gambling picks are equal to Colin Kaepernick's negotiation skills. They're both dumpster fires. I can't defend it. Rachel Bonetta has the right to hate me. I don't blame her. I hate my picks. Justin, I might hate myself. Justin in Vermont, what's up?
Hey, Clay, just a couple of things. I know all about the Kaepernick thing and stuff, and I completely agree with you, but the dude is ruining football for me. I'm a big NBA fan. I really just got into football maybe the last couple of years. the year before last, it ruined it because he dropped his knee, the flag, whatever, all that stuff that was going on. That doesn't even bother me. But he's ruining football. All this topic.
Why, hold on a sec, Justin. Where have you been? You're like 25 years old. Where have you been for the first 20 years of your life that you didn't like football?
No. Not that I didn't like it. I'm a New England fan up here for the Patriots. I live in Vermont. We don't have a team, obviously. Big Celtics fan. I just grew up playing basketball, all this stuff, and I just recently fell in line with a couple of friends that love football. And
I've
been getting into it, not quite the gambling. But you hung up on the dude that was talking about his drafting and everything, and then to entertain Lorenzo is kind of like doing what the media did with Kaepernick and entertaining some clown that has nothing really good to offer. Like you said, his skills, he wants all this money, all this other stuff. Let's get back to the actual topic, football.
All right, so what's your point on football?
We lost Justin.
I don't understand his argument there.
I mean, the dude doesn't watch football. I mean, what's the deal?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. If you're a sports fan and you didn't like football, I question your opinions going forward. Like, I played basketball and I didn't like football. Okay. I mean, that's a little bit strange to me. Jason in San Francisco. What's up, Jason?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I just wanted to say that I'm listening to the show, and I'm not a racist, but Cap is trash. You know, Cap is garbage. Maybe if he had the right coach at the right time, you know, he could have got back, but he's been removed for so many years. He doesn't want to play, and he shouldn't play. I think it's a wise decision that he doesn't play. And of course, he's like, yeah, no. If I'll only play if you give me $20 million. I think he knew they were going to say no, so he didn't want to. It's obvious. But I think the last caller, you know, kind of did make a good point saying that he kind of entertained Lorenzo. He was whack. He was trash also. But, you know, I just don't think it's cool some of the callers call in and say, I'm a fellow racist. But, you know, let's get back to the Kaepernick topic. He's garbage. He's trash.
No, I think what the callers are saying is they're pointing out how ridiculous it is that if somebody disagrees with you now, you immediately get branded a racist. Like, that's the number one go-to, or sexist. If you're like, hey, you know what? I think that people who have penises should call themselves men. People are like, oh my God, you are so anti-transgender. Really? I just think if you have a penis, you're a dude. Sorry. And I think if you have a vagina, you're a woman. Well, I don't think, like, and I think 99.99% of people agree with me. And like, that isn't being anti-transgender, right? Whatever, I really don't care. This is my position in life. I really don't care what you want to do so long as it is legal if it makes you happy. That's my perspective. You can agree or disagree with it. I'm very libertarian in that respect. If you want to change your gender, have at it. If you want to be like Rachel Dolezal or Sean King and change your race, whatever. Change your race. If you want to if you decide that you are only happy if you marry 10 people and there are 10 people who want to marry you, go get married as long as you got the money to be able to afford all those wives or husbands, right? I just don't care. I don't sit around worried about that much what other people choose to do in their life if they're happy. But that also simultaneously doesn't mean I think they're heroes. Like, this is when people got mad at me back when Michael Bennett came out and he said he was gay. They were like, oh, Michael Bennett's such a hero. So brave of him to admit that he's gay. I'm like, football fans care? Like, do you sit around watching a game being like, man, I wonder who that guy, whether that guy's gay or straight? You're like, if a defensive end can get to the quarterback, I don't care whether he's black, brown, green, or purple, right? If you can get to the quarterback, I'm going to put you on my football team. If a transgender dwarf were the best quarterback in the NFL, I would give that dude $100 million, or girl, whatever you want to be called, I would give they $100 million. I don't care about your pronouns, right? I think that's how most sports fans are, regardless of where you are across the country. And then there's a tiny segment of the population that supports Colin Kaepernick and is all woke and is all social justice warriored out. And my point is, this is important when news stories like this come out, where Colin Kaepernick has clear opportunities to play football at the quarterback position if he so desires, to prove that he's good enough to play at the highest level. That is the very essence of sports. He is not having the door closed on him. He's just not very good. And the only reason he is relevant is because of that martyrdom that he is trying to adopt. He wants to be the biggest victim in the history of sports. He thinks he's Muhammad Ali. Well, somebody said Muhammad Ali is one of the greatest boxers of all time. And guess what? When Ali got banned from boxing for his feud with the government over the Vietnam War, he didn't never return to boxing. He came back to boxing and won the heavyweight championship. When he got the opportunity, which had been unlawfully deprived from him, to come back and play, he came back and played. If he had just been interested in being a martyr, he wouldn't be the greatest. He didn't want to ascend to the top of the victimology charts. He wanted to come back and prove that he was the greatest. Sports is about proving your excellence. That's why we all watch. So even if it's a minor league football situation, if you want the opportunity to start as a quarterback and prove that you should be a starting quarterback, you would have been playing on CBS on Saturday. It would have been a huge story. How will Colin Kaepernick do in this new league? And if you came out and balled, which you should do if you're the best in the minor leagues, then you would get an opportunity maybe even to start in the NFL if you put forward an unbelievable performance over the next 10 weeks. And people like me would come on and they'd say, you know what? Colin Kaepernick's balling out. I think there's a lot of people out there looking for quarterbacks. Look at what he just did in the minor leagues. And we would have debated, well, is the quality of competition good enough? He would have put himself right squarely back into the discussion about signing quarterbacks. That's the entire purpose of playing in a minor league. And yet, he wasn't willing to do that. Well, if you're not willing to pursue the chosen profession that you want to do, look, if I got fired tomorrow from this show, and then a tiny radio station offered me $75,000 a year to come back and reprove that I was really good at sports talk radio, wouldn't I take it if I wanted to get back to doing what I do? Yes, would it be difficult? Got a national radio show I'm on in all 50 markets. I can talk to you every day. If I got fired tomorrow and then somebody called me up in my hometown of Nashville and they offered me a local radio show, and that was the only job I could get in sports talk radio, do you know what I would do? I would take it. And my goal in taking it would be to prove that I was good enough to get back to a national level. That's how jobs work. I had to do this in my own life. I worked at CBS Sports, and then I was an editor at Deadspin. I didn't get along with AJ DeLorio, the editor at Deadspin. He's the one who ultimately got sued by Hulk Hogan and bankrupted that company. AJ and I didn't get along. I quit and left that job at Deadspin. I didn't have a job for a long time as a writer. I thought I was worth $100,000 a year at least. That's what I left. That's the job that I left. Ultimately, I could only get a job paying me $25,000 a year. You know what I did to prove that I could earn a lot of money again as a writer? I took the $25,000 a year job at Fan House because it was the best job that was out there for me. Was I worth more? Yes. But did I have to suck up my pride and struggle to prove that I could make a living in sports media as a writer and take a $25,000 a year job? Yeah, I did. And now I'm making a lot more than that, because I bet on myself and I believed in my talent, even if the market didn't reflect that they did. That's ultimately what sports is about. That's what a lot of you are doing this morning as you get out of bed and go into work. There's a lot of people listening to me right now who believe they're worth more money than they are. And they're going to work right now listening to me to try to prove that they're worth more money than they're making right now. So when all of those people hear Colin Kaepernick had an opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the minor leagues in order to prove that he deserved to be in the major leagues, I think it's hard to defend him. it's hard to defend a guy who then says, I want $20 million. Let me get a couple more of your calls in here. I try to fit all you guys in. Let's go to – I'm going to get all of you in. I need you to be fast. Joe in Washington, what's up?
What's up, Clay? Thanks a lot, brother. You couldn't say it, you couldn't say it better, man. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, he's selfish. I mean, Colin Sacker Pig. He's just a selfish dude, man. Like, you know, it's like Tim Tebow, man. He got that same phone call, right?
Yeah.
You know, hey, you want to come play with our league? And he said, no, thanks. You know, and that's what Colin Kaepernick could have said, man. You know, yeah, thanks. No thanks.
Thanks for the call. Look, Tebow said, I want to be a Major League Baseball player. But Tebow also gave up on the idea of being a quarterback. If he had wanted to prove that he was a quarterback, he could have gone to Canada. That's what I said at the time. I mean, look, you can criticize Johnny Manziel, but the guy took a job in Canada to try to prove that he's a quarterback. That's what you do if you've got the fire in the belly to prove that you are the best. If people don't believe in you, you are begging for an opportunity to prove you do believe. Tebow doesn't want to be a quarterback, doesn't believe that he can be a quarterback in the NFL. I think that's clear. That's why he went to baseball. But if you get that opportunity, you have to take it. Chris in Vegas. What's up, Chris?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say that that Lorenzo guy is just, he is just ignorant. My thing about Kaepernick, okay, I don't dislike the guy, but I'm not a great big fan of his. If he did go into the AAF, league. I still don't think he would have gone into the majors because he likes, like you said, he likes being a victim. He likes people talking about him and the controversy and everything. So I just don't think, even if he did play for less money or more money or whatever the money case may be, I still don't think he would get back into the NFL because he would start controversy.
Yeah, right. Well, look, and here's the deal. If he played well in the AAF, he would get an NFL job. So a lot of times I always give people this advice. Don't think about what you're getting paid for the job that you've got right now. Think about whether it's setting the table for you to make more money and have better opportunity in the next job. That's the way I think you always have to think if you're trying to climb the ladder. Don't focus on the compensation at your current job. Focus on what you can get at the next job. For Cap, it's all about the next job. He's trying to prove that he deserves an opportunity to get to the next level. Again, and he turned it down. And he said, I want $20 million for this. Well, no, you might make $20 million down the road if you're really good and you prove that you're not past your prime. Look at what happened with Nick Foles. Nick Foles, everybody thinks he's dead. He's almost hanging up the cleats. And then he got an opportunity in Philly as a backup. And he ends up winning a Super Bowl. Why wouldn't you take that opportunity?
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Joined now by Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman. Jeff, when you hear that Colin Kaepernick demands $20 million to play in the AAF, the minor league football season that just started last week, your reaction is what?
I mean, he's obviously using whatever leverage he has. What's interesting about this is I do think the AAF should have offered him a contract above and beyond what they're paying other players.
Which is $75,000 a year.
Right. And look, it's actually, if you look at what they're paying him per game, it's about what you get on practice squad in the NFL.
So yeah.
It's actually not that bad of a salary for a 10-game season. But I would, if I was the AAF, I would have offered something different than what they, I would have a provision to say if you are, you know, a franchise-type player. I think other leagues, like in the CFL, has this kind of provision.
Totally agree with that. But it's a big deal that the report is, a lot of people out there are saying, why isn't Tim Tebow or Colin Kaepernick playing in this league? The AP is reporting they reached out to Tebow, and he said, no, I want to play baseball instead. And they also reached out to Colin Kaepernick, and he said, I want $20 million. So, when you respond, I want $20 million, I think it probably killed the negotiation because if they come back and say, okay, we'll give you $750,000,
yeah,
like, whatever. I mean, right? I mean, I don't know what their high number could have been. Maybe he's worth $2 or $3 million to them just for the publicity. But when you come back and say, I want $20 million, you know, he's basically asking for as much money as Aaron Rodgers gets to play every football game to play in the minor leagues.
No, I agree with that, and I do think that you know, there's been this talk about, does he want to play football? And I'm not quite sure. I don't know if I'm maybe a lukewarm supporter of Colin Kaepernick, and the idea that I do think that there was some sort of, you would call it collusion, whatever. I don't think it was collusion, but I definitely think teams did not want to sign him. But the way that you talk about, as far as, you know, your talents can outweigh your issues, which is, I think, what happened with Kareem Hunt and what's happened with other players, is that people just didn't view Colin Kaepernick like Twitter does, as far as his
talent.
He's
not good enough. What I have said from the get-go is, if Aaron Rodgers took a knee to protest, like, in favor of ISIS, right? Like, the most outlandish possible protest you could imagine. In other words, he's saying, like, I think we're treating ISIS unfairly. Somebody would still sign him because he's such a good quarterback that his politics wouldn't matter, right? Somebody would take that risk. Kaepernick is not a good enough quarterback to be as politically active as he is. And so when you do that analysis, talent outweighing problems, his talent's not good enough. Kareem Hunt is a good enough running back that even though he's on video kicking a woman, somebody in the NFL will take the risk to sign him. Reuben Foster is a good enough linebacker that even though he's been arrested multiple times for domestic violence, somebody will take that risk to sign him. Colin Kaepernick, even though there's business risks, right, is what I'm saying. There's business risks associated with signing Kareem Hunt and Reuben Foster. Kaepernick is a business risk, and his talent isn't enough. So if I were Kaepernick, what I would be trying to prove is, no, my talent is enough to overcome this, which would mean he could go to a minor league like the AAF. And if he dominated, and I think you probably would agree with me here, it would be really hard for an NFL team not to sign him.
Right, and I also think, I mean, just from a ratings perspective, I would watch
100%. You would watch
if I knew he was playing. And this is why I think the AAF, and it's hard to negotiate with someone who comes back with that number. But look, Eric Reed, who just signed a long-term contract with the Panthers, right? I think there was obviously, look, the safety market was down, but I do think part of it played a role as far as him being associated with Colin Kaepernick. He signed a one-year deal last year. He played well, and the Panthers paid him.
And they paid him a lot of money.
So, look, he obviously wanted to play football still. As much as Colin Kaepernick, defenders want to say he still wants to play football, I haven't seen much proof of that. And I get, look, there's a certain value associated to playing with football. So, you know, playing the game. So if you think you're worth X amount and you can't get that X amount in the NFL, then you don't want to play. I get that. I mean, it happens to all of us, right? I mean, there's a certain point in our careers when we don't want to play for the minimum anymore.
Yeah.
I got to that point. I've had plenty of friends who've gotten to that point. And you say, okay, I'm done. But Colin Kaepernick would have gotten more than the minimum. I mean, he's at least a starting quarterback in the NFL. Is he a top 20 quarterback? Maybe, right about 20. But, you know, top 20 quarterbacks are still getting millions of dollars, and I think he still could have gotten that in the NFL if he wanted to get that. Obviously, it didn't happen. And so I'm not surprised. Look, he was never going to play in the AAF, I don't think. Even if they came to him and said, hey, we'll give you $2 million, he's still getting a lot of money from Nike. There's no incentive for him to play in AAF.
He wants to be a martyr. I don't think he wants to play football anymore.
I just wish we heard. I said this all along. You know, I think he was the wrong guy to be the public relations arm of this movement. I think that there were plenty of other guys who would have been ready to be more vocal and been able to really hammer home what this was about. I think early on he said some things that really probably weren't really about what the protest was, and it really kind of derailed the movement.
Here's something I thought was interesting. David Stern, can you come back, by the way, for the final segment? Because we were taking a lot of calls. So we'll call Jeff back and get him for the final segment, because I want to ask him about Flacco and Lamar Jackson, too, and have him break down those two guys from a former offensive lineman perspective. What does he think of them as quarterbacks? But David Stern said something really interesting in an interview yesterday, too. If you remember Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, he refused to stand for the anthem as a member of the Denver Nuggets. And David Stern immediately suspended him, fined him a game check, and the protest lasted for one game. And Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was basically doing the same protest as Colin Kaepernick by refusing to stand for the national anthem. And the NBA said, nope, we're not going to allow that. And the NBA still requires every player to stand for the national anthem, even though nobody talks about it. He said, if Roger Goodell had not screwed up, and if he had just initially fined and suspended Colin Kaepernick for not standing for the national anthem, as he was required to do under NFL rules, the story would have not been what it is now, and he thought that Kaepernick would still be in the NFL. In other words, Roger Goodell not doing anything and basically freezing and not enforcing the existing NFL rules created the mess that has ensued from Colin Kaepernick, and I think there's a lot of truth to it. I'll ask Jeff about it. This is Outkick the Coverage. We're joined by Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, Joe Flacco or Lamar Jackson? Yesterday we had this question up as a poll question. For the next 3 years, who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Flacco, and that's a very low bar because he's not been very good.
Neither is not an option, yes. But if you had to pick, yeah, you would take Flacco. Why?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Look, Lamar Jackson, great story. You know, he played decently well, I guess, as part he was the run. You know, they ran the ball and played defense, and he just was kind of along for the ride. You know, he completed 58% of passes in an offense that was kind of designed to hit, you know, some play action passes, some quick passes. They still could not complete a large percent of his passes, right? I don't think he's very accurate, and accuracy doesn't get better.
Yeah.
It doesn't, there's no proof in the NFL that accuracy gets better. And look, I get rushing the ball is cool, it's fun, it's fun to talk about, but look at the 8 quarterbacks that were in the divisional round games, right? Do you notice they might have combined all 8 of them to rush for as many yards as Lamar Jackson rushed for, right? Rushing the ball is not a trait that wins you lots of playoff games, right? We even saw Lamar Jackson struggle in the playoffs. Being mobile does work, and there's a difference between being mobile and running the ball, and Lamar Jackson is more running the ball than he is mobile. So I do not think he'll be good in the NFL. I said something about Josh Allen. Nothing to happen this year changed my opinion on either one of those two guys. For example, Kyler Murray, he's very accurate. Yeah, there's some issues in intermediate throws, but he's an accurate quarterback. Dwayne Haskins, accurate quarterback. I think they'll be fine in the NFL. I know lack of experience is going to be part of their evaluation because it really has not gone well for quarterbacks who haven't started more than 1 year coming in the NFL. But accuracy is the number one trait, in my opinion, that translates from college to NFL. And if you don't want to take my word for it, I tweeted out yesterday, and you made fun of my spelling, the way I spelled it. But Mike Leach said the same thing, right? Quarterback guru Mike Leach said, we overlook accuracy in the evaluation process. It's the one trait that translates most throughout high school to college to the NFL.
Yeah, I saw this with Jake Locker, because when the Titans took Jake Locker in the first round, top 10 picks, the big gripe for people who were fans of Washington was, well, Locker's not that accurate. And they said, well, we think we can fix his footwork. And what has consistently been the case is accuracy doesn't get fixed in the NFL, because it's even harder in the NFL to be accurate because the windows are much smaller. You need to be better. Blaine Gabbert, we've seen the same thing, right? Most of the guys who are pocket passers who don't work, it's because they're not accurate enough consistently in the NFL.
You know, Josh Allen, my comp for him was Locker. I mean, Locker was 56% at Washington. I watched him play for 4 years. I played against him in college. I mean, he's the prototypical guy, quote unquote, upside that we always talk about. Upside is not really a trait that translates. I mean, upside, like, we have less practice time now. College, and especially quarterback, college offenses are easier now. You should be able to complete a high percentage of passes. That's the way they're built now. Lamar Jackson was in a pro-style offense. He missed throws that he should have made to be a top quarterback. And that's why he was drafted in the first round, is because he was not like the other quarterbacks. So nothing changed for me for him this year in evaluation. And now teams have a whole offseason on him. They're not going to run that offense. That offense was predictable. And it's not a winning offense through the whole NFL. By the way, have you looked at the teams he played last? He beat the Bengals, the Falcons, the Raiders, the Browns. He beat nobody. He won the one game on Saturday in Los Angeles, and his offense scored, 16 points in that game? So I'm not impressed by
him. Look, I argued yesterday that I think this is Tim Tebow 2.0. I think it's Vince Young 2.0. I think it's RG3 2.0. I think Lamar Jackson is all of those guys who came in, had some immediate success, then the defenses had time to sit back, look at what they did, and they took him away, because ultimately the NFL is a 3rd-and-8 passing league.
Yeah.
You have to be able to convert the ball when everybody – convert first downs when everybody knows you're throwing.
I think Tebow is not even – you can't compare it to Tebow. He was – I was in Arizona when the same gym facility as him one offseason. I saw him throw, man. I mean, even just throwing the ball with no rush, it was not pretty. I mean, Lamar Jackson can at least decently throw the ball. I mean, he completed 58%. I mean, Tebow had games where he was like 2 for 8. And like, they didn't even pass the ball. And I've talked to players who were in Denver during that time, and players and coaches who were coaching them. And he's like, it was a miracle they won. And this is why quarterback wins is a stat I think is kind of misleading. And I know people love to turn it up, especially with Lamar Jackson. Yes, quarterback win, you know, winning the game is important, but you have to look at how you win and the formula for that win and what happens in big games. Just saying, well, Lamar Jackson was 6-1 in the regular season, that doesn't really paint a picture of the way he played, the way the team played, or anything else. I mean, Tim Tebow, yeah, I mean, he made the playoffs, but he was not a good quarterback. I mean, there's no other way to put it. He was not a good quarterback.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.